Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast number 265. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, it is no secret I am an entrepreneur, but it has not always been so. Like many of you, I was raised to go the safe route, get a job, work at maybe two or three places for an entire career, build up for retirement, the whole nine yards. And both my parents did this, and you know what? I applaud them. They saved up a mighty nest egg over the years for themselves. They put all of their children through college from start to finish and graduate school. Yes, they and others like them are amazing people, but you know what? They did it in a different time. Things have changed and changed radically. And today, rather than being the unsafe route, many people see entrepreneurship as a little bit of a, maybe a much safer route, one that puts you in the driver's seat, giving you full access to your talents and gifts in ways that are just not possible with a traditional job. And today's guest knows this in spades. He is Jim Beach, the co-author of School for Startups, the breakthrough course for guaranteeing small business success in 90 days or less. Let me tell you a little bit about him before we get started. Jim started working as a research assistant at the Japanese External Trade Organization in Atlanta. He attended graduate school in Hawaii before working for Coca-Cola in Japan. At age 26, he founded a company. It was called the American Computer Experience, and he provided technology training for young people. How cool is that, being on the front end of a serious trend? He sold the company in 2001 and started teaching at Georgia State University. He now teaches at the University of Tennessee in Chattanooga, and he is devoted to helping people from all walks of life take the entrepreneurial bull by the horns and build a business of their own, as the title of the book says, in 90 days or less. Jim Beach, welcome to Indie Business Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Now, Jim, I have to ask you on the front end here. You left Coca-Cola, you know, back in the day. Coca-Cola, well, it still is a fantastic company, but you were so young and you left Coca-Cola. Tell us what went into that decision. How did you decide to leave a company that is obviously world known? I'm not sure exactly what you did, but I'm sure you were handsomely paid. You were living in Japan. What went into the decision to leave a company like that to start a business of your own at age 26, Jim?
Well, I'm sorry if that's the impression I gave. I was invited to leave, Donna Maria. It was not something I did by choice. A little bit. I was, you know, working in Japan, and I wanted to get married. You know, I was 25, and I had a path for myself, a plan. And in that plan, I was a 30-year-old with tiny little kids. And, you know, to have that plan work, you got to get married at 25, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I got to go home and get married. So I came back to Atlanta, where I'm from, where Coca-Cola is headquartered, and I had done tremendous work for them in Tokyo and had saved the company a ton of money. And was interviewing all up and down corporate headquarters, and no one would hire me. They just kept saying, and then they would go on and hire someone else. And so finally I asked. I did have a friend who was significant enough there, and he would tell me the truth. And he was like, Jim, you just have a bad reputation. No one wants to play with you. Everyone thinks that you just don't play well. You won't play well with others. You should go off and start your own business. And I was like, What? I've never thought of that. I'm not an entrepreneur. I am a Coca-Cola, red blood, Coca-Cola red employee. I am here forever. And they were like, no, you're not, because no one's going to hire you. So I had no choice and went and did some real soul searching and decided that what I wanted to do was to go back to architecture school and get more education. And my parents, Donna Maria, my parents must be the same as yours. They're outstanding, amazing, incredible. Couldn't be any more supportive. But, I don't know if you ever got to this point, but my parents eventually drew the line and said, we paid for a lot of stuff, but no. And so I decided to start a business that would only operate during the summertime, but would allow me to, work the rest of the year and go to school. And I think it's an interesting lesson is you don't necessarily have to start with something you're passionate about or something that you're good at or anything. We started with one parameter for our new business. that parameter was that it operate during the summer mostly so that I could go to school during the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened. It did work out that way. And so it was a really good thing. Another lesson from this was that creativity does not have to be part of the entrepreneurial experience either. You know, I think, Donna Maria, if we were to go ask 100 people on the street, don't you think 99% would say creativity is a big part of entrepreneurship? But I went and started that business. It was a copy of a business that I had seen as a child. We just did it a lot better, you know, the night and day, the level of quality. And so another thing that I would really like to tell your listeners out there is if you're wanting to be an entrepreneur and you can't figure out what to do, then stop trying to figure out what to do. Quit waiting for this inspiration, this creativity lightning bolt. Say 1 month from now, I will have decided what type of business I'm starting, and I will use the next 30 days to methodically create that decision. In 30 days, I'm deciding. Done. I will have made a decision. Because that gets you started, Donna Maria. And as you know, the biggest step and the hardest part is just getting started, right?
It is. It is. And thank you so much for that honest answer and so much information packed into such a short minute or two there. And I'm so glad that you said that you were invited to leave, because so many people today, far more than back then, are being invited to leave for one reason or another in different circumstances. And they're in the position that you were in. And so we're talking to someone, guys, who's done it. So you know what? You know, listen up here and pay attention to the things that he's going to share. Let's talk for a second, Jim, about this amazing book I have here in my hands, The School for Startups, The Breakthrough Course for Guaranteeing Small Business Success in 90 Days or Less. And let me tell you this, by the way, Jim. One of my listeners here now, Lorena Sample, she says she has read your book and heard you speak at a business seminar back in March. You're awesome, and you are the real deal. So there you go with your first endorsement from our Facebook page. But, Jim, your book says 90 days or less, and it says guaranteeing small business success in 90 days or less. So let's pull back for a second here, and then let's explore that three-month period of time and tell us, you know, give me an overview. We can't go into detail. I want you guys to get this book. But give me an overview of what we do during that three-month period of time, and how can you guarantee this?
Well, you know, I'll make it even sexier. I'll say 9 days or less. I'll say 9 hours or less. I'll get you up and running today. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. By 5 o'clock today, you could do this. Go out there at the end of the show and drive to the mall and where all those restaurants are, and go into a restaurant. Maybe not a chain restaurant, because that might be more difficult, but go into a restaurant and say, hello, Mr. Manager, Mrs. Manager, I would like to be your social media manager for this restaurant. Right now, restaurants are the only industry in America that really don't have Twitter pages. You don't collect email addresses. You're not doing any of the things like Facebook that real businesses need to do in today's world. For $250 a month, I will do your social media campaign for you. On a slow Tuesday night, you call me up and say, hey, it's slow tonight. I'll send out a Twitter, and I'll do something on Facebook. And within 30 minutes, you'll turn a slow Tuesday night into a busy Tuesday night, because I'll tell your fan base that we're having half-price wine for the next hour if you come in and say, I found this on Facebook. You know, for $250, Mr. Media or Mr. Restaurant Owner, I would like to do this for you. You go to 10 restaurants by Friday, I think you're going to sell two or three of those, because the pitch makes sense. It's simple. And now you get to go and be on Facebook, which if you're 18 is what you want to be doing anyway. I love this business for a college kid. But don't you think that business makes sense, Donna Maria?
Well, it absolutely does. And, you know, and I will say, and I know you probably know people who have done this, but I have a personal friend who did exactly what you said in the medical field. He has multiple clients here in the Charlotte area. They're doctors, dentists, and professions like that. And that's exactly what he did. And he told me how he did it from start to finish. And one of the things he did was what you just said. So, but let me ask you this, and that's such a great example of a fantastic and, you know, fairly simple way to get started. What would you say to someone who's listening now, Jim, and they say, I really want to start a business. I don't know what to do. And I love what Jim just said, but and I know how to do social media, but I'm not passionate about that. I just, you know, it just doesn't ring my bell. What would you say to that person, Jim?
Well, you're asking two questions there. The first question is passion important, right? Is that one of the subtle things that you're asking?
Absolutely.
And I don't believe that it is, and people think that I'm crazy. So far I don't think that creativity is part of entrepreneurship, and now I'll say that passion is not part of entrepreneurship either. You know what, Donna Maria? I'm at home right now with my 10-month-old baby sleeping in the room next to me. It might wake up and you might hear it, but I hope not. I think I've got it timed right. Do you know how cool that is? I'm at home in my blue jeans with my son, raising my son. I'm passionate about that.
Mm.
I'm passionate about I get to do what I want. I'm passionate about the fact that I don't report to someone at Coca-Cola that could fire me today. I'm passionate that I don't worry about my company getting downsized, right-sized, outsourced, day-sourced, whatever. I'm passionate that I'm in control. I'm passionate that I control my destiny. I think that's what is enough. I think that's passion enough. My passion in life is woodworking. I would give anything to be a successful woodworker and to be able to, you know, make beautiful furniture and chairs and sell that online and make $1 million doing that. But you know what? I'm not that good. I can't. You know, people won't pay for that kind of stuff, the time that it would require. And so I can't do what I'm passionate about. And so what I have to say is, you know what? I'm passionate about the process. I'm passionate about the cool things that come with selling whatever I can find that I can sell. You know, if I can only sell to restaurants, that's okay. I'm passionate about the fact that I can now go to my child's soccer game because I can take from 3 until 5 o'clock every afternoon off. I'm passionate about that. The second part of your question, I think, Donna Maria, was, so I don't want to do restaurant. I don't know what I want to do, but I know I didn't like your social media restaurant idea. That was the second question, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then go on Google and type in 50 free business ideas or free business ideas. There are hundreds of websites that give away business ideas. Type in businesses for under $5,000, and you will find hundreds of businesses that people have just said, here's a business idea, go do it. It's there for you to take. There's no charge. It's not, and just do it. Make it better. Again, there's nothing wrong with borrow, copying, emulating someone else's idea. We have Hyatt and Hilton, you know, Burger King and McDonald's. But, you know, having Burger King didn't stop the Five Guys from coming out and said, you know, we make really good hamburgers too. There's nothing wrong with finding an idea on Google, finding an idea in Inc. magazine, finding an idea in the appendix of my book, and going out there and doing it and saying, here's my business. Your friends don't care where you got your idea from. Your friends are still going to envy you because you're the cool one running your own business. They're going to be, wow, I wish I, you know, had the wherewithal to start my own business. Wow, you're the cool one. Your bank doesn't care. They don't discount the dollar that you deposit by 20 cents because the idea is a copy. And for goodness sakes, your customers don't care. All your customers care about is, hey, they provided great service and a product at a fair price. Creativity is not part of it. So if you don't like my restaurant idea, go on Google and find your own idea to copy, borrow, emulate.
And, you know, I'll tell you, I just, as you said that, went onto Google and typed in 100 good business ideas, and I got an article from Entrepreneur Magazine called 100 Brilliant Ideas. So it is just, and it was like the second or third thing down. So I love what you're saying. So for those of you who don't have an idea or you think you might be onto something but you're just not sure, articles like the one I'm looking at right now are so inspirational, and they're filled with stories of people. It's not just go do this, what a great idea. It's here's some people who have done this, and we're giving you this idea as something to, you know, get your feet wet with. So, and that was...
Can I tell you a story about a woman right on this topic? Can I interrupt and tell you a story real fast?
Please.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we had one of our students, and she came to us, I want to open a high-end fashion store, you know, like a place where, you know, Versace is sold. And I'm like, well, that sounds like it's going to take a lot of money. She's like, yeah, I put together a plan for $1.2 million, and I'm going to go raise money. And I'm like, well, no one's going to invest in that. That's ridiculous, you know. So here's an idea. Let's do this instead. Let's take $5,000. And let's start a consignment store where women come in and bring their old fashion that they're no longer wearing, And those are also the women who buy from the other women. So those are not only your suppliers, but your customers too. And for $5,000, we can't afford to build out a Versace-type store. We're going to get, you know, supply racks and display cases off Craigslist and things like that from other businesses that have failed, and get that stuff in there, and we're going to slowly build this business, you know, organically on $5,000 and no more. Now, 2 years in, her store is doing well enough that she's starting to be able to bring in fashion of her own, you know, stuff that she's seeing at trade shows, and starting to turn the store slowly into what she originally wanted. But you know what? It's been supporting her and her family for 2 years now. She's got employees who are supplying, you know, food for their families. You know, ladies are able to now go and sell stuff that they didn't want anymore and buy new stuff that they did want. Sounds to me like lots and lots of problems are being solved, which is what entrepreneurship is about, for under $5,000. There's nothing original, interesting, sexy, creative about her idea at all. It's a consignment store. But the story is pretty sexy, though, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. And she gets to be in the industry that she enjoys, just in a little bit of a different way. So if she does have that sort of, you know, fashion passion, then certainly she can get snippets of it in what she's doing and make the money that she needs to really indulge that passion, right?
Exactly. So she's happy now. She's running a business. You know, she's fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And she still has a goal in front of her. And so she's a wonderful example for under $5,000 of how to start a business. That's not creative. I wouldn't put her in the category of Steve Jobs type creativity.
Right.
But I would put her in the category of she's supporting her family as an entrepreneur after she got laid off.
Well, and I certainly, you know, hear you when you talk about the passion for your child who is there sleeping. I can relate to that. I have two children and have been running my business with them in my home ever since it started. So, and you know what, Jim, our listeners have that same passion. So what I'm hearing you do is to flip that passion a little bit. So many times I work with people who are passionate, as you just mentioned in the example of the woman who wanted to open the store, passionate about something in particular, but they fall into what I call the passion pit. That is, they have a passion, but they struggle to apply that to a business model that will actually work.
Yeah. You know, just because, let's just eliminate that as one of the requirements. You know, people say that, and it makes a good story. But you know what? There are a lot of things that people just aren't going to make a good living at, you know, doing. So let's do eliminate those. I do want to say one thing, though. I know lots of your listeners are women who have arts and crafts type businesses and things like that. My comment on that is those businesses to me are awesome. If they make $5,000 a year, $5,000 a year is what we call car payments at my house, you know, or car payments and electricity or something like that. That's awesome. If you get laid off, God forbid, at least the car payments and the electricity are paid for. And so this idea that, you know, a business can be too small to be interesting, I don't believe that at all. A business that does $10,000 a year and makes $4,000 a year in profit is worth doing. Because in year two, that business might do $20,000 and make $9,000 in profit. Now it's starting to pay, you know, mortgages or rent payments or something even more important than car payments. And in year five, that business might do $100,000, do $50,000 in profit, and support you, God forbid, if you are laid off. You know, don't be afraid to start super, super, super small, you know, and to turn off all of the TV at my house. It's the ESPN or the Real Housewives of somewhere, and we have to turn those off and say, you know, no, not tonight. We're working until midnight, and we're not going to do anything fun. We're working until midnight, and we're going to enjoy that as a side income, as a, you know, a new income stream to go with hopefully the job we already have.
Yeah,
we don't have a job now. Let's go start that $5,000 business because that's the beginning of a $100,000 business.
Absolutely, and turn off that cable. I just can't echo what you said any better. And thank you so much for acknowledging the small businesses. You know, I call these people, we're the new 1%, right? We are working hard. We are creating wealth on our own terms, and we're doing it without hurting anyone, and we're strengthening our communities as we go along. So thank you for sharing that.
And raising children at the same time.
Yeah.
So you are the lifeblood of America.
Absolutely.
And the thing I really want people to get out of our book is that, you know what? 72% of Americans say they wish they could be an entrepreneur. 60% wish they could be a rock star. So more people want to be entrepreneurs, Donna Maria, than want to be rock stars in People magazine. 10%
Well, and what's interesting, too, about what you just said is what I'm seeing is rock stars are becoming entrepreneurs. I mean, look at Justin Timberlake. Didn't he just buy MySpace? Look at people like Bono and other people. These people have clothing lines. They're not just singing alone.
That's right. But, you know, 10% of Americans are entrepreneurs, which means that 60% of the world out there is unfulfilled. You know, they're not getting what they want out of life. And the reason is they're afraid of creativity and they're afraid of risk and they think they have to be passionate about it. So if we eliminate those things and say start for $5,000 or less, that's not that risky, steal the idea off the internet and be willing to do things you're not passionate about, now anyone can go and be an entrepreneur because we've removed all of the obstacles. There is no obstacle like you have to go get this degree first or you have to learn how to do this thing first or you have to pass this test first. All you have to do is get off the sofa and stop being concerned about creativity, risk, and passion. It's so simple. That's what's so beautiful about the message we're here to talk about.
I love it. I love it. Get off the sofa. So let me ask you this, Jim. Okay, so let's say you've gone on the internet and you found that idea, or maybe you already have the idea yourself and you think it's a good idea. Let me ask you this. You know, where the rubber meets the road, right, is when you actually take that idea and mold it into a plan. You mold it into action items, steps that you take every moment of every day, every working moment of every day to get things going. Here's the second part where I see people sort of fall short because they're kind of like, ooh, I've got this great idea. Let me just throw it out there and see what works. Tell us a little bit about your methodologies when it comes to saying, okay, here's the idea. Now I need to create a system, Jim. I need to create a model for that idea to fit into so I can generate a profit.
Okay, great question, and I have a strange answer. I don't do anything other than sell product. I don't believe in the business plan. I don't believe in 30-page. I just don't do it, I don't think that your listeners should do it. I think you should research really, really hard during that month where you're deciding what business you're going to be in. On day 31 or day 32, you should be taking product or service into the marketplace and seeing if you can sell it. Go out there, and no matter what it is, figure out who your target audience is. And in every instance, we can reduce your target audience down to somebody. It's either all of the people who live in Palo Alto who have kids. Well, that's a definable group. Or every company that owns a fleet of trucks, and somehow I'm going to service the fleet of trucks. No matter what, you can always define it down to a list. And then start going to that list. If you make a new thing that allows trucks to do better, something, and you want to sell it to every company that has a fleet, like a plumbing company that has 10 trucks, go talk to that plumbing company. You know, so I will say in one through four, you decide on an industry and a company. In week five and six, maybe, spend the entire time on LinkedIn, for I love LinkedIn, doing nothing but making a list of 200, 400 customers, people who would want your product or service. And if you're, you know, creating arts and crafts, for example, or something like that, you know, find fairs that you can go to, find arts and crafts exhibits where you can go to, find newsletters that you can get in at church, find places, hospitals where you can put some of your stuff in display at the gift shop. Find some place to see if people like your product and get out there and sell stuff. And that's all I do. So the first business that you were talking about when I was 26, the first thing I did was place an ad in one newspaper in a very targeted place. People started calling in, and I was like, great. We collected the names. After a month of collected names, we sent them a brochure. I haven't even communicated yet with them because I'm afraid until we send this brochure, finally checks start coming in. But the thing is, I haven't even created the company yet. I don't have a bank account yet because I don't know if I'm going to have a business yet. My coolest thing in the world. The number one thing that happened is to walk into a bank with a check in the hand and say, I'd really like to create this company here because I've already got money. You know, I want to create this bank account because I'm already selling stuff. And this is how I reduce risk. And this is how I get back to your first question, 90 days or less. Go out there and see if the product works before you spend a bunch of time designing business cards and getting embroidered T-shirts and writing a 30-page business plan. I'm out there selling. I'm out there selling on day two. Here's my product. Here's people who might buy my product. Let me go talk to them now and see what happens. I like that business model no matter what you're doing. Again, find product. Find people who like that product. Find 200 people who could conceivably buy it. Go talk to 200 people. Then write business
plan. I love
plan.
That. I love that.
Then
call it
incorporate.
The evening bag business plan. But
exactly.
I love
what
you're saying. And my business plan started out as a chart, and it's still a chart. It's a one-page chart. And there's a lot of stuff in my head. But I love what you're
That's
saying.
That's all you need.
It keeps me nimble. It keeps me focused. And it keeps me from going all over the place. And so you heard it here, guys. It is possible to do this. And you don't need gobs and gobs of passion. What Jim is describing is, you know, quite a bit of focus. You know, you make that list of 200 people, and you go out and you go for it. And I love that there's more inspiration in this book. Let me tell you about it. It's called The School for Startups, The Breakthrough Course for Guaranteeing Small Business Success in 90 Days or Less. It's co-authored by our guest here today, Jim Beach, and also Chris Hanks and David Beasley. So I want you to head over to www.theentrepreneurschool.com. You can also follow Jim on Twitter at twitter.com/entrepreneurjim. And Jim, tell us a little bit more about the classes you teach and maybe if you're going to be speaking anywhere in the near future.
Well, we have the Entrepreneur School that you mentioned is 80 hours of online stuff from my partner, Chris Hanks, and I. It's story-oriented. We're not PhDs. We're not academics. We're just people who went out there and built some businesses, and we tell the stories of how we did it and what worked and what didn't. And it's great stuff. I think you'll really like it. If you buy the book, you get the Learning Center online for 1 month for free, and that's $159 value that you get for free. So if you buy the book for $10 on Kindle, you end up with $170 worth of stuff, and you watch those 80 hours in 1 month, and you will learn everything that I know about starting a business, how to get an idea, how to get funding, how to not need funding, bootstrap, how to get number one on Google, how to use social media correctly, how to use Facebook ads, how to buy a business with absolutely no money down, which is something that we also talked about in the book that I think is very possible today. All of this is there and you know, for free for a month, so we'd love to see you on the Learning Center. Also, if you let me, I'll give out my email address, Donna, and people can contact me, and I'll help them do anything I can. Am I allowed to do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's James.Beach, B-E-A-C-H, at att.net, James.Beach at att.net. And I'd love to talk to you about your business and help you in any way I can. So thanks for having me.
This is exciting, guys. Listen, not only did he write a book, not only are there resources online at really great prices, but he's just given you his email address. So if anybody's listening and you don't take advantage of that, I just don't have the words, okay? So I'm really excited, Jim, that you shared with us today. Thank you for taking your time to be with us. www.theentrepreneurschool.com to learn more about School for Startups, the breakthrough course for guaranteeing small business success in 90 days or less. My guest has been Jim Beach, and you need to email him now. I'm so glad you joined us today here on Indie Business Podcast. I'll see you next week for another edition. In the meantime, enjoy your life. Build your business, and have your way.